Depression again, we get all of what you put into it, like a walk of life. If you're good enough, go out and get it, no more about it. Your mother sends you down to the shop for a pound's worth of goods, and she gives you 50 pence. You can't get the pound's worth of goods, can you? Let me find out there from the war court today. No more about it, they made all the running, that was it. Put the ball over the bar and the back of it, and that's it. No ifs, no buts. There's no sympathy in this game for anybody.
Matt O'Callaghan, Matt, our weekly chat here on Treaty Talk. We've got plenty to talk about. I suppose we'll start with a look forward before we look backwards to last weekend's results in the football, which were ultimately very disappointing. But first and foremost in everybody's mind this weekend is Limerick's trip to Lolland Park against Kilkenny on Sunday. Matt, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a cracker, and it'll be another test and another step up from Limerick.
It certainly will, Raphael, and of course we're all looking forward to it, and there's no doubt about it. For the 8 years that we were in exile in Division 1B, we didn't have the opportunity to play Kilkenny at this stage of the competition. Like, we have to go back to actually 2010 was the last time we played them, and that was in the Gaelic grounds, and that was during the time of the troubles in Limerick, let's put it that way. The last time we played them in Nolan Park was the year before. So it's nice to be going back to Nolan Park, and it's nice to be going back there with this Limerick team. Do not do fear factor. And as we saw last year, now it is a daunting place to go to Nolan Park, but most of this Limerick team went there in 2017 and almost overturned Kilkenny in the championship and came away very, very unlucky. Now, this is going to be a step up, because in the first round we had Wexford in Wexford Park, which again was a challenge. Limerick got over it. And then we had Tipperary coming with all guns blazing after the start they had made against Clare to the Gaelic grounds. Limerick responded to that and got over it. Now, I think they will need to move up a notch, but you would expect that with two games under their belts, with the confidence that flows from the victories, and above all, I would say, the type of victories, and with two extra weeks' work done, that you will see Limerick will move up a couple of notches, and they will need to against the Kilkenny team that seems, even though they're without the Ballyhale Shamrock players, which has robbed them of such key players like TJ Reid, Joey Holden, Cullen Finlay, it's a Kilkenny team that is probably knitting nicely along. It's very much in transition. There's a lot of a carryover of the young players that were breaking through last year. They're getting plenty game time in the league. Now, they had a good win over Cork in the first round. They travelled to Clare in the second round and lost. I suppose no shame in losing in Cusick Park. It was the only place Limerick lost on their way to the All-Ireland final last year. So it will be a very stern test, and it will be a sterner test, with all due respects, to Wexford and to Tipperary. This is going to be the stiffest test that Limerick have faced in the campaign so far.
Matt, let's get the thoughts of Kieran Carey, who we spoke to during the week, and how every game in 1A is another step up, and the fact that this Sunday blow in Nolan Park would be no different.
No different at all. And funny enough, the shoe was in the other foot here, because I suppose in the past, the Limerick teams would always have loved to have a crack at Kilkenny, and I suppose just to see where they're at themselves physically and technically. And now I'd imagine most teams out there now, looking at the performance of Limerick already at this early stage, are actually using that as a barometer for themselves. So that's fairly new and unique to Limerick, which is great.
Yeah, it certainly is, I suppose. And with that, you know, with every week that Limerick goes out, there's, a new level of expectation. You know, that kind of pressure, it breeds competition in the squad. Like, if you look at even last week, there's the guys who came on against Tipperary, the changes that were made. You know, there's nobody, and this is a bit of a cliche, there's nobody guaranteed a starting spot in that Limerick side.
No, I wouldn't say there's nobody guaranteed. At the end of the day, if your level of performances are at a high level and you're maximising your potential to the highest you can. And if you're doing that regularly, right, then the jersey is yours. And the only way you're going to hold on to that jersey really is by keeping that bar extremely high within yourself and your own performances. And as you rightly pointed out, in two games, I don't know numerically how many guys they use, but they used a lot of them. And okay, there's only two guys there present that I've seen that kind of stepped up to the mark after giving the jersey. That was Tom Condon and Conor Boyle in the last day. You know, Kevin Downs, right, he was taken off. Myself, personally, I probably would have left him on because I know him of old. He's a confidence player. And, you know, he's still an awful lot to offer. Another guy there that's kind of out injured at the moment is Willem O'Donoghue. He will push fairly hard as well because he did an outstanding year last year for an appearance, to be fair. So, and as I said previously, you know, for us to have a similar kind of a journey or experience that we had last year, you will definitely want about 2 to 3 newcomers jumping in there making the squad. Honey, no different to the Dublin footballers what they're doing for the last 5 years. This is very similar, but just a different sport.
Ciarán, the black and gold, it brings out, I suppose, the best. It has to bring out the best in teams when they go down to Nolan Park. I suppose your recollection of some of the tougher Kilkenny players you played against, the better ones, and some of those the more memorable games. I know you probably didn't play them a hell of a lot in Championship, if at all, but you would have had some league clashes with them.
Yeah, strange enough, Raphael, yeah, because the rules are different then to knockout hurling in the Championship. But, you know, our record in league against Kilkenny actually down through the years, the teams that I was with, I think we beat them 3/4 of the time, any time we played them. But, as you said rightly, you know, they were the big guns, they were the big dogs at the time. And, you know, you were relishing playing Kilkenny because anyone that's focused and thinking, right, will want to play the best and going to test yourself as a team or an individual. So down through the years, our record was fairly good with Kilkenny, and it was the DJ era. All those players would have been there at the time. DJ, Pat O'Neill, Canna Sprint, and all these guys. And as I said, our record was pretty good against them. You know, I think 82 we won the league and 97 we won the league, and I'd say we would have played them along those journeys. You know, so yeah, as I said, during the league at the time, it was always good to play the best to see where you're at, and you know that's what I mean by Sunday. You know, it shows in the other foot. So Kilkenny, I believe myself personally, you know, they're not fully there. They're still in transition, and they are for the last 2 years. But the one thing that I love about Kilkenny, even if they haven't the quality that they had, even though they're in transition, the one thing you'll get off Kilkenny, they will keep going and they will empty the tank for the hour and 10 or 15 minutes, whatever length of time it takes. You know, they'll be there and they'll be working extremely hard, and you have to respect that.
Ciarán, where do you think the game will be won and lost on Sunday?
Honestly, Kilkenny, funny enough, now watch them last year, even though Limerick beat them the Championship. Funny enough, they're the only team out there possibly, they're the only team really that kind of have an idea of Limerick's system. And if they kind of can curtail that, they have a chance. But if they're going to be a bit like Tipperary in the second half, like rabbits to headlights, I could see Limerick going on and doing what they did against Tipperary. But as I said, the winning and losing of this really, if Kilkenny have their homework done and they know the system, they're aware of the system and can confront the system and change it and stamp their authority, they have a chance. But if they're not coming to Nolan Park this Sunday with that frame of mind, you know, I think Limerick will roll on in a minute.
And of course, Ciarán, some sad news for the parish of Patrickswell during the week as well.
Yeah, poor Nora Binnis, Gerald Binnis's wife, passed away very sadly and very quickly out of the blue yesterday also. So I'd like to take this opportunity to extend my deepest sympathies to the Binnis family, who are obviously going through a very tough, difficult time.
Yeah, so Matt, Ciarán Carey there, and I suppose a guy who has, I don't think he ever played Kilkenny in Championship, but had played them in league encounters. And, you know, like Ciarán says there, again, John Kiely will be looking for guys to to make impacts. You know, any change that he'll make, he'll be looking for these lads to come in and to kind of stake a claim for a starting jersey later on in the year heading into Championship. So each game offers a different set of challenges. Each game offers a different set of opportunities.
It does, and he will probably make changes, and he will be looking for another Conor Boylan. And I suppose marrying and managing players being involved with Limerick and being involved in the Fitzgibbon Cup has eased somewhat in that LIT were surprisingly beaten last week, and that meant that David Dempsey, Peter Casey and Dermot Burns were no longer involved in both. Now Paddy O'Loughlin is still involved, and Paddy came in as you will recall, when Declan Hannan went off the last day against Tipperary, Paddy came in, wing back, and Dan Morrissey moved to centre back, and Paddy did very, very well. And I suppose because of the performance of Conor Boylan, Paddy's performance as a newcomer slipped a small bit under the radar. But I thought Paddy O'Loughlin was very, very impressive when he came on against Tipperary, and has been doing very, very well with UCC. Now Am Galan is still involved with Mary I. They're playing the semi-final this Thursday afternoon against NUIG, and I suppose they're going into the game as favourites. So if Mary I were to win, it would mean that there would be two Limerick players, two of John Kiley's panel, still involved in Fitzgibbon Cup duty.
Matt, let's hear from John Kiley now, and I started by asking John if the game in Nolan Park on Sunday will be another indication as to how Limerick are progressing and where they need to get to.
Yeah, it's, I suppose we've had the 2 weeks off now since the last game, so everyone's looking forward to the series of matches coming up again at the weekend. And for us, you know, these games are the prize of having won 1B last year, you know, to be back up in 1A and to have these mouth-watering clashes coming week on week. So it's going to be busy now for the next couple of weeks, and it kicks off on Sunday with a trip to Nolan Park. And sure, we all know every team that goes to Nolan Park, they know exactly what to expect. It's going to be a really tough day at the office. They're always very, very competitive. They work extremely hard. You know, they've a lot of new players again that are making significant progress at the moment. So I'm sure it'll be a really tough test for the guys on Sunday, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, the last time you went down there, I believe, John, was that narrow defeat in the previous year's championship. A lot has happened since then, as we well know. And last year's game, again, not a whole lot between the two of you in Semple Stadium. Promises to be, like I said, there seems to be a lot of cut and thrust to these league matches this year. I know it's a step up into 1A, but, you know, Limerick have been tested for large periods of the Wexford game and for the Tipperary match.
Yeah, every team is going to be pushing hard, because ultimately the players are trying to establish themselves on the teams and to give themselves the best possible chance of making the team come the summer and making the panel come the summer. So, you know, the matches are very important for the players. They're important for the group. And for us as a management team, we're taking the competition, you know, as seriously as we can, whilst at the same time trying to develop a number of players a little bit further and give them a little bit more experience on the bigger stage against the top teams.
John, what's it like balancing that? You know, you're trying to strike a balance between being competitive and winning the league matches, while at the same time introducing maybe two, three or four players in each game to kind of see where you are with regards to squad depth. How what's that kind of juggling act like?
Yeah, well, that's the approach we've taken. You know, we're trying to put out, you know, a team that would be, you know, backbone by lads who would have, you know, been regulars last year, and yet, you know, give opportunities to lads who maybe didn't get as much game time last year, but who obviously have an awful lot to offer, and, you know, see where the form lies this year as well. And it is a bit of a balancing game, but at the same time, it's an exciting one, because you can see the lads are working extremely hard in training, and they're fighting hard to get their opportunity on the Sunday. And ultimately, that's a really good thing for the group. So it's a problem I'm happy to have. I'll put it that way.
Matt, the thoughts there of Limerick senior hurling manager John Kiely. And I suppose, Matt, you know, if Limerick do pick up another win at the weekend, it puts them pretty much into the knockout stages of the league campaign, guarantees them another match, and, you know, all part of the building process. I mean, you know, having won the All-Ireland last year, it's, you know, when you haven't won an All-Ireland, you're always building towards winning one. And when you have won one, you know, you're not necessarily looking to retain it, but you're looking to, I suppose, to get back into the latter stages of it again the following year, because it is so difficult. I know I saw varying reports over the last 24 hours of Jackie Tyrrell saying that Limerick weren't in the top three sides in the country, whereas Brian Cody comes out today and says that Limerick are the best team in the country. I think Jackie put Clare, Galway and Tipperary ahead of Limerick at the moment. I don't know what he was basing that on, but you know, so there's, you know, again, I suppose John Kiely will pay absolutely no heed to anything that goes on outside of the four walls of what happens in the Limerick camp anyway, so that's not really going to bother him. But it's interesting that there can be such variances in opinions at this point of the season.
Yeah, you have to try and find a balance in between. If we were having this conversation 12 months ago, the same well-informed wouldn't have Limerick in the top six, not a mind in the top three. John Kiely won't be in the slightest bit worried. If anything, he'll probably be delighted that they're talking like this. And of course, Brian Cody on the three or four games, days out from the big game in Nolan Park, which is a very, very important game for Kilkenny now, mind you, because they have already lost once in the league. But he would be into his mind games, you know, hyping up Limerick and all this. But Jackie Charles' assessment that Limerick are in the top three, are not in the top three, I think it's outrageous. But like, if people choose to inhabit a fantasy land, I don't think we can do anything for them, you know.
Matt, I couldn't have put it better myself from the enlightened one of Limerick GAA, the Dalai Lama himself, Matt O'Callaghan. I think you've hit the nail on the head with that one. Moving on to Camogie and Limerick, two wins from two. We said at the outset that, you know, win away against Offaly, won the home game against Clare, that, you know, if Limerick got off to a good start in this league campaign, it could really set them up for a decent shot at it. They now have a trip to Dublin, who sit bottom of the table with no points from two, well, 1 point from two matches, rather, that a draw with Offaly, while Limerick are neck and neck with Kilkenny at the top. Kilkenny ahead on goal on the points difference, but Limerick and Kilkenny with 6 points each. And I put it to you, Matt, that this is a huge opportunity for Limerick to copper fasten that that playoff spot in the league. It's also a good chance for them to, you know, go into the last match against Kilkenny at home with pretty much nothing to lose. And, you know, they can afford to have a right cut off Kilkenny if they're already qualified. I think that Declan Nash will be very pleased with the progress that they've made so far this season and will be very much looking forward to going up to Dublin and trying to get the job done as quickly as possible at the weekend.
They will, certainly, and two wins from two, it cannot get better, and you're absolutely right, a third win will see him into a fifth semi-final in a row, and if that is coupled with a Kilkenny win over Offaly also this weekend, you'd have a situation the following weekend where the Limerick-Kilkenny game would be a straight shootout for the first and second place in the group, and what a strong position that would be. Now, Limerick went to Offaly, dug out a good win there, and dug it out without Niamh Mulcahy. Niamh came back in the game against Clare, and as we know for the last 2 years or so, games between Clare and Limerick, there has been absolutely nothing between them. Niamh, among others, turned on a player of the match performance, and that won the player of the week for her performance on that occasion. But significantly for Declan Nash and his team and his backroom team in particular, Niamh Mulcahy scored 8 points, but she was one of seven scorers that got on the score sheet for Limerick. And this has been a problem with Limerick for a number of years. Over-dependence on Niamh Mulcahy and not enough of others stepping up to the plate and chipping in with scores. Now, I thought the second half performance against Clare was as good a performance as I have seen from a Limerick Camogie team for the last number of years. It was a very, very heartening and encouraging performance. And they will go to Dublin full of confidence, absolutely full of confidence. Dublin owned at this point. Dublin's fate in the league is not in their own hands any longer. They have lost already to Kilkenny, lost substantially to Kilkenny, and then in the most recent game they drew at home with Offaly, and on one point their chances of qualifying are very, very slim. So Limerick will go there full of confidence, and I think that the prize that's on offer for Limerick is a guaranteed semi-final place should they pull it off, and I think they just might.
Let's get the thoughts of Limerick Camogie manager Declan Nash. And Matt, I put it to Declan that this weekend up in Dublin is a great opportunity for Limerick to seize the initiative and to cement a league knockout place.
100%. Yeah. Just to keep building on what we've been doing, the performances have been good. And as for Dublin will be a tough task at the weekend. They've been going really well and they've done well in Championship as well in the last couple of years. So we'll be looking for just maybe another maybe percent or two on our performances to date, and hopefully the result takes care of itself.
The league campaign so far has been very positive. You've had the two wins first up. I suppose the way the fixtures have fallen as well is it does allow you that opportunity to go into the last round. Hopefully, if you take care of business at the weekend, it allows you to go into the last round, which will be another test, I suppose, a far sterner test than you'd have gotten in the previous three games against Kilkenny. And I suppose it allows you to have a real cut off of them as well, but only if you get the business done this weekend.
Yeah, I suppose everything will determine on how the weekend goes, really. You know, obviously you're trying to use the league to get as much game time into girls as possible as well. You're trying to try to see things all the time, building that momentum towards Championship. So Sunday is important for performance first, and then if the result goes to plan, like you said, it's a free-for-all for Kilkenny then, really.
Have you noticed anything different about the group this year from last season? You know, have they been more cohesive? Is there a different mood within the camp? What's the difference between the 2018 panel and the 2019 panel?
I suppose it's kind of hard to put the nail on it, to be honest with you. There would have always been a close enough bunch. Maybe our squad is a little bit tighter this year. We've only 25, so it's a little bit tighter. We've a lot of work done on like that, getting that probably one player team opinion that's out there, out of us behind closed doors and stuff like that, really grown as a group. I suppose it's just letting them play with their confidence and letting them enjoy their camogie as much as possible, I think, is a major thing that we've tackled this year.
Anything in particular with regards to this Dublin side that you'll be looking to counteract, or I suppose what will you be hoping that Limerick will do at the weekend?
To be perfectly honest with you, there's going to be very little between us. So it's really just focusing on our improvements from the Clare match and the areas that we would have seen that are there for improvement, and just building our own performance. And really focus internally is what we're at this stage of the year.
Matt, the thoughts there of Limerick Camogie manager Declan Nash as they look to take on Dublin and Copperfast in that league playoff spot at the weekend. Moving on to football and the football review now, Matt. Billy Lee's side suffering their first defeat of the campaign up in Aucrim at the weekend. The scoreline flattering the home side, Matt, I believe a little. Limerick, I think with that goal late on, had moved ahead of their hosts, but just the concession of two late goals kind of just took the wind out of their sails. But look, still progress being made. No need to press panic buttons yet. I'd say just head down and drive on for Billy Lee's side and see what more progress they can make in this campaign.
Yeah, I suppose they were undone in dramatic circumstances, if you like, because at half time, having played against a gale force wind, and it was a gale force wind, I'm told, that Limerick had it down, was it down to 3 or 4 points, a very, very manageable lead. And like, as you'd expect, that they would drive on in the second half, which they did, and they got a goal by Seamus O'Carroll, which put them ahead midway through the half. And you'd be inclined to say, right, here goes, a third win in a row is on here. But you're right, the concession of two goals really turned the game on its head. I suppose when Limerick got the goal at that stage, it looked unlikely that would happen, but it happened anyway, and Limerick left Aucrum empty-handed. But we shouldn't see it as it's a setback. But it's not the end of the world. Billy Lee was talking at the start of this campaign, and we've discussed this before, that there was a sort of a subgroup within Division 4 in that teams like Wicklow, Waterford, London and Limerick, they were all around, around the same level. And he pointed out that it was a question of trying to get to the top of that group. And like you would have to say, with Wicklow and Limerick now have two wins, London have one win and Waterford have no win. So like he's some of the way there on his target, but I think there are still winnable games in this league. Now, looking at it as it is at the moment, it would look that the two unbeaten teams, i.e. Derry and Leitrim, are the two teams to beat. Now, coincidentally, those two teams are next up for Limerick, and Limerick are home to both of them. Limerick have only one more away game, and that is against Wexford in the penultimate round before entertaining Antrim in the final round. But like, and I suppose very few would have predicted the type of at the outset, the type of problems that have beset both Wexford and Antrim. They've had a very, very poor start to this campaign. I'm sure if Billy Lee was having the discussion now about getting to the top of the four, he may be talking about getting to the top of the six. I think there are two outstanding teams there in Derry and Leitrim. And it's a question of I think for Billy Lee, like, he certainly, in terms of his selection, he has got consistency, because he named the same team for a third week in a row. Now, all right, Davy Lyons was unable to play last week and Brian Donovan came in, but he's certainly getting consistency in his team selection. And Leitrim, of course, and Derry will be a step up, but having him at home is a big, big, big advantage. And like, I'm disappointed with the Wicklow performance, but I'm still optimistic that it has been only tentative steps to win over London and Limerick and Waterford. I certainly hope that it's not a false dawn. I think it may not be a false dawn, but we will be able to judge exactly, I suppose, more accurately where Limerick are at when they meet the top sides. And that's going to happen the following weekend after next, when Leitrim are visitors to Limerick.
Yeah, it certainly will. Matt, moving on to the other football side that were in action last week, that, of course, was the ladies. A bizarre, I suppose, game out in Skeeton, and that Limerick just seemed to be hit by sucker punches from Carlo, who didn't create a whole pile, but certainly maximised every single chance that they took. And to come away with the win, a setback, but maybe a wake up call for John Ryan's side, more than a setback. That they, they are the All Ireland champions in the junior grade. They are trying to get out of Division 4, but you can't afford to take your eye off the ball. They now have three games up north: Fermanagh, Derry, and Antrim. So that puts added pressure on those. You're looking at probably having to win two of those, away trips to remain or to stay in the top four. John Ryan will be disappointed, but maybe it's the wake-up call that they might need.
Yeah, he certainly will be disappointed. I was at that game, and And this is not offering an excuse, because we talk about panel depth and strength and depth and all this sort of thing. But Limerick were without Niamh Ryan. Niamh has been out injured, centre back, and you remember her performance in the All Ireland last year, which was absolutely outstanding. Limerick were also without Rebecca Dalee and Roisin Ambrose, who were key figures in helping Limerick to beat Louth the week before. Now, all three actually were involved in the Ashburn Cup. Niamh was involved as a selector with UL. She's a former, of course, Ashburn Cup medal winner. And but because of injury, she's not playing. And I think that the last time I spoke with her, maybe a week ago, she was saying she was going to be out for another 4 or 5 weeks, which is a huge loss to John Ryan. And Rebecca Dalee and Roisin Ambrose, they were involved in helping UL to win the Ashburn Cup. And congratulations to them and to Caoimhe Lines and to Deborah Egan and Marion Quaid and all the Limerick girls that were involved. It's a great performance. But getting back to the football game, I think you summed it up. Carlow maximised their chances. Limerick didn't. Limerick in the first half seemed to lose it in the final third, even though they were playing against the wind. They worked the ball well into the danger area, into that final third. But the decision making and the final pass and the final third left them down so many times, and we were counting it on the sideline, and like they spurned three or four what could be clear goal chances in the first half alone. And whilst at the other end, Carlow absolutely maximised every chance they got. They got five goal chances. They scored four of them, and they got a point from the other, because the other was a splendid save by Mara Lyons, who deflected the ball over the bar. Now, Limerick's two goals were both from penalties, but they were only indicative of the level of pressure that Limerick had applied on the Carlow defence. And like Limerick chipped away at the lead, and they'd bring it back down to a point, that go back, Carlow would go back down and get a goal. It was 4 points again. Limerick would chip it. You know, that was the type of game it was. And had the referee on Sunday, Shane Curley, allowed the same amount of extra time as his predecessor the previous week, Limerick would certainly have pulled something out of it, because they were really on the front foot, and they were very, very unlucky. Just on the hour mark, Katrina Davis, she dropped in a free. It was very, very difficult to deal with it. The Carlow goalkeeper brought it down, and he could easily have gone across the line, and they somehow scrambled it to safety. They were that near getting a win, but they didn't. It's one win from two at home. Now there are three trips out of the next four, and they're all to the north. Fermanagh, Derry, in that order, then followed by a home game against Kilkenny, followed by a trip to Antrim, and a home game against Leitrim. And to get into the top four is going to take a lot of effort now, because certainly if you were going to Fermanagh with 6 points, you would be certainly in a very, very strong position. Now, Carlow are going to be vying for a place. Louth are going to be vying for a place. And the three Ulster counties. Now, we don't know what Leitrim have yet, because they've only played one match, but they didn't play at all in Division 3 last year and were so relegated. So we don't know. So, look, the challenge is there now for John Ryan, but of course, he will have the luxury of having some of his players back, certainly for the trip to Fermanagh. But Fermanagh now becomes nearly a must-win game to get back on track, because if you lose two out of three, making it into the top four out of eight sometimes is not very easy.
Yeah, it certainly isn't, Matt. Moving on, Junior B review. Cappamore just falling short against Islegate Glenbrine in the Junior B final out in Kilmeade at the weekend.
Yeah, last Saturday, huge crowd out there. Again, huge congratulations to Kilmeade for this competition. Like, it's an absolutely wonderful competition and a wonderful sense of occasion out there. Not just the final, but semi-final days and provincial final days and all the days up along. It gives people that otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to represent their clubs and represent their counties on a bigger stage. Yes, it proved a bridge too far for Capamore, and I suppose significantly, I saw Capamore in the Munster final, I saw him in the All-Ireland semi-final, and of course I saw him in the final on Saturday last. But in the two previous games, and it was a worry I had when I reached Killeady and saw that the wind was blowing down the field again. On the first two occasions, Capamore played with wind, built up a lead, and defended it well. On this occasion, it was Islegate Glenbryne that had got the wind. And I suppose for the first 20 minutes, it certainly wasn't reflected on the scoreboard as to who had the wind. Capamore dug so deep to try and keep that score down against the breeze and chipped in with a few scores themselves. But as the half wore on, the goal, and it was only the second goal that Capamore conceded in the entire tournament over four games, the goal came, and Islegate Glenbryne had 5 points of a cushion at half time. And after half time, I think the effort that Capamore expended, particularly in the first minute, in the first 20 minutes, containing Islegate Glenbryne, may have mitigated against them, because Sile at this time of the year, whilst the pitch was perfect, but the going tends to be heavy and energy sapping, and I think they just didn't have it in the tank in the second half. Now they closed the gap. Liam Kramer was flawless from freeze. He landed 8 of their points, and I suppose that too gives you an idea of the difference. Islegate Glenbryne, the Wexford men, they had players that could pick off scores from play. Whilst in that regard, Capamore seemed to be finding it far much more difficult to score from open play. Then in the centre of the field, the Wexford lads, the fella called Marty Kelly, who was absolutely outstanding. Now he's a former Wexford player in that he played in the league with Wexford, and bringing that type of experience at this level, like, is a huge bonus, and he showed it there on Saturday last. Like, he was certainly a controlling factor around the middle of the field, and particularly a controlling factor in the second half when they were defending their lead. Capamore can have no complaints on the day. It was a wonderful journey for them. It's a pity that it didn't end on a better note, but they would be forced to concede that last Saturday the better team won on the day.
Matt, before we wrap up today's podcast, I look back at the Limerick Under-21 Hurling Championship, which is in full swing. Patrick Swell and Doon, the standout sides at the moment.
Yeah, they're moving nicely. I suppose by next Tuesday evening, we certainly will know the final look on Group 2. There's an extra round in Group 1 because there are 5 clubs involved. But presently, anyway, Patrick Swell with 2 wins sit on top, and the Pearshick and Ahan have a win each after 2 games, whilst Kildymo, Palaskenry and Monaleen have just played 1 game each, and that's because of the buys that come into it. So that is very, very interesting, but a very, very good start by Patrick Swell. Now, in the other group, there are just 4 teams that are Doon, Kilmallock, Garish Blaine and Mungret St. Paul's. Now, Doon are the standout side here in that they have already recorded two wins. A win over Kilmallock in a repeat of last year's county final, you will recall, which we streamed, I think it was in the Gaelic Grounds one evening. And they more recently have beaten Garish Blaine and beaten Garish Blaine convincingly. So they sit on 4 points. Behind them then are Garish Blaine and Mungret on a point each, and Kilmallock have no points, but Kilmallock do have a game in hand against Mungret, which is due to take place in McNeville Park on this Friday evening. So whoever will win that will be in. Well, of course, there are 3 teams out of 4 going on to the knockout stages. So look, it looks here as if Doon have almost nailed the semi-final spot from the group, and it is a 3-way battle for the 2 quarter-final places.